Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Greetings, listeners. This is your co-host, Brother Fidel, sitting in for the Honorable Apostle Dr. LaTanya Turner and Pastor Deborah Freeman. So delighted that you have taken time out once again to tune in to the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Our service times 12 noon on Sundays, and we cordially extend an invitation to you and yours to join us this Sunday for an awesome, awesome time in the presence of the Lord. And know that we here at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast at Pure in Heart continue to send up prayers for you, our listeners, and your family members. We strongly believe in the power of Almighty God to change, to transform lives, to intervene in situations through the power, glory to God, in prayer. Once again, that is the reason why the Spirit of the Living God gave Dr. Turner the unction to record a phenomenal prayer CD that you can get. You can bless yourself and bless others with one in this season by going to our website, AskDrTurner.org. And beloved, this program, this broadcast is Holy Spirit designed with you in mind. If you have any questions concerning anything in the Bible concerning your walk with the Lord, we would love to hear from you. Email us at AskDrTurner8@gmail.com. That is AskDrTurner8@gmail.com. And in this season of giving, beloved, I ask, I exhort, I encourage you to remember this broadcast, remember this ministry in your giving. You can send your donation via Cash App using the $ capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. If you want to write to us, write to Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Once again, if you're doing it by Cash App, the $ capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. If you want to write to us, Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. So excited about the word of the Lord that the Spirit of God has given me to share with you for this iteration of the broadcast. Wanted to also let you know that the messages are recorded. So if you want to receive the message, contact Dr. Turner at the email address, AskDrTurner8@gmail.com, and we would be happy to send it to you. There's an important question asked by Jesus that is recorded in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. And that is what I want to share with you. Luke 18 is a chapter that instructs us to always pray and not to faint. It also deals with a people who cry out to the Lord day and night to be avenged of their adversaries. So Luke 18 and 8 ask a question. Jesus is asking a question that is worthy of strong consideration. And it is this: when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, when he returns, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus, of course, expects to find the body, the church, his people praying, fasting, witnessing, etc. But of all the things he could have inquired about finding upon his return to the earth, he chose faith, which lets us know how important this key component of our relationship in terms of our walk with God is. Hebrews 11 and 6 confirms this. It does not say without faith it is hard or difficult to please God. No. It says without faith it is impossible to please Him. For two reasons. Number one, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And number two, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There is no wiggle room here for any of us or anyone on the earth. There are absolutes here. If we are to please God, we must have faith in who He is, and there must be diligence, glory to God, in seeking Him. In essence, Jesus was saying, when I return to the earth, will I find a people who are trusting and seeking God diligently? Not individuals who have just a cursory approach or living on the fringes or the margins or the periphery of religion. No. Will I find a steadfast, resolute people who are trusting and seeking Almighty God diligently? Two key things you need to know about faith. Faith is and faith does. Again, faith is and faith does. According to Hebrews 11 and 1, it is both the substance and the evidence of things, glory to God, not seen. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is a firm expectation and persuasion that God is going to do exactly what He promised to do. Faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind that which is not readily seen by the eyes of the body. So we are expected as children of God to see things through the lens of faith and not only through, you know, our natural lenses, right? God has given to every man, every woman, everyone that comes into the earth, the measure of faith needed to live in and navigate through this world. But the faith Jesus is referring to is the one that is used to believe and to trust in Almighty God. People will readily, beloved, listen to this now. Pfizer rolled out their COVID vaccine and to much fanfare. It's all over the media. A lot of hope, a lot of expectation. And, you know, we pray sincerely that things go well. Let's be honest, though. People will readily, put their faith, their trust in a vaccine they hope will stop COVID-19. But if you tell them of the oldest pandemic, the oldest plague that has been around since Eve was deceived and Adam rebelled, if you tell them that this pandemic has caused more death since Cain killed Abel than anything else, if you tell them there's only one cure and it is not man-made, it is God-given, if you tell them that only the blood of Jesus Christ can inoculate them from the ravages of this plague, some of them may look at you like you are crazy because they would rather put their trust in a vaccine that gives temporal life, but refuse to put their trust in the God who gives eternal life. Now, we know that God has given individuals in the earth the wisdom in terms of the sciences. We understand, glory to God, that He has given His people the wisdom to be able to handle things, things like the COVID-19 virus, things that affect and afflict us, glory to God, causing sickness, disease, and infirmity. But there's only one thing given, ladies and gentlemen, once again, that can help concerning the pandemic, the plague that has plagued human beings since the days of Adam and Eve, that plague, that pandemic called sin. If you tell them once again what the solution is, that only the blood of Jesus Christ can inoculate, can protect them from the ravages of this plague, they may look at you like you're crazy. Because once again, it is important to reiterate this. They would rather put their trust in man-made things, albeit good things, but they're not eternal things. Vaccine and other things that give temporal life, but refuse to put their trust in the God who gives eternal life. A God that is not a mystery, for the Bible tells us all about him and the gift of eternal life that he has offered unto the world. Individuals, they don't have to be in the laboratory, as we say in England, or the laboratory, as we say here in America. They don't have to know what is in the vaccine, but they trust, many do, what scientists say, right? In terms of what the vaccine will do. They don't have to know what is the chemical compound, what is the makeup. But when it comes to trusting the Almighty God for something precious, something priceless, something that is going to be of value throughout eternity, they refuse to do so. Hence, one of the reasons why Jesus asked the question, shall I find faith when I return to the earth? This leads me to believe, and it is confirmed in the Bible, that prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a falling away. Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say about this. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. Apostle Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, wrote, and I quote, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Listen to how Paul, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, describes now what will be the attributes and the characteristics of individual in the last days. They shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's important, because we would think that when you endeavor to do good, people would welcome you. Absolutely not. Here the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul, they will be despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You be the judge, ladies and gentlemen, if this is descriptive of the world in which we live today. Having a form of godliness, but denying the dunamis power thereof. He went on to say, from such turn away. Paul is describing individuals in the church, not just people who are in the world system. They refuse to yield to the power of God's Holy Spirit, choosing instead to yield to the flesh while maintaining this facade of religiosity. Notice verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3 ends with the words, from such turn away. Quite honestly, we tend at times to try to go out of our way to stay connected to some people. People who we know fit the description that I just listed. But the Bible instructs us otherwise. In other words, if individuals in our sphere of influence persist in their folly, turn away, shake the dust off your feet, and keep it moving. We never stop loving and praying for people, But the Bible instructs us to turn away. Why? Because association breeds assimilation. If I had a dollar for every time I heard my precious mother say to me, "Show me your company and I will tell you who you are." As darkness covers the earth and gross darkness to people in fulfillment of the prophecy given to Isaiah, we must be steadfast and resolute in terms of our faith, our trust in God. We must be anchored by faith in the kingdom of God. We must warn others that their only hope of escaping the wrath that is sure to come is to do the same. Listen, we see the impact and the effect that the COVID-19, the virus, has had in the year 2020 in so many areas of people's lives, in their health, in finances, you know, in the marriage, in the family, etc., social interaction, everything is just in chaos. Beloveds, know this: biblical prophecy concerning what will befall the earth in the last days will be fulfilled, and no man can stop it. The Lord Almighty has spoken it, so it must come to pass. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away before one jot, one tittle, some of the smallest marks you can find. He said heaven and earth will pass away before one jot, one tittle of this word goes unfulfilled. This is extremely important. Matthew 10, verses 34 to 38. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." In the household, there will be chaos, Jesus is saying. And I'm going to tell you why. It's found in the words that Jesus spoke. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." So in a household, if you have split allegiances, if you have one or more persons who are anchored in the Lord, who loves the Lord God, you know, with all their heart, their mind, their body, and their soul, and if you have other individuals now who love the things of the world, of course they're going to be at odds with one another. So Jesus is letting us know that he is the example, glory to God, and when that example is not followed, when he is not followed, there can be nothing but chaos, nothing but confusion. And he's saying, in the midst of this, there must be a willingness now of his followers now to take up their cross, of course, by denying themselves and following after him. Not following anything else, not following anyone else, but following after him if we are going to be worthy of calling him Lord and Savior. In other words, Jesus is saying there must be unwavering loyalty to him. We cannot straddle the fence. There must be unwavering loyalty, unwavering faith in the kingdom of God, and a willingness to suffer for righteousness' sake, which is what taking up the cross is all about. Suffering for the sake of the gospel, suffering for the sake of the kingdom of God, and not wilting or melting under the pressure of the suffering, but being anchored and fortified in our faith, in our trust in God's ability to carry us through and to cause us to be victorious. just to pause for the cause in terms of station identification, you're in tune to the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast brought to you by Praise 107.9. The broadcast is sponsored by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Service times Sundays at 12 noon. Back to the word. So again, there cannot be wavering. Our loyalty must be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith, our trust must be to him. And we're able now to use the spirit of discernment now to be able to navigate our faith now in terms of the do's and the don'ts in this world system. I'll tell you why momentarily. Matthew actually 5:30 and Mark 9:47 lets us know how serious this is, what Jesus is saying concerning finding faith when he returns. Matthew 5:30, Jesus said, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." There is a word right there that we rarely hear about anymore in preaching and teaching. The word hell. Let's just be honest. Some people will even go as far as to say that hell is not real. Well, read Matthew 5:30. I'll read it again. "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man that he should gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Mark 9, beginning at verse 47. "And if thine eye," Jesus said, "offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." If his previous words didn't get the attention that it should, Jesus upped the ante by putting fire next to the word hell. Let me get ready to conclude with this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul mentions the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ now. And he says, "And by your gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means." So this means that there will be an attempt by various means and trickery and sleight of hands to deceive the people of God. Jesus Christ said, "For the elect's sake, the days had to be shortened." So let no man deceive you by any means, right? The spirit of the living God gives us the discernment now, the understanding now, so we can recognize the subtlety of deception that the enemy will use. And the closer we get into the last days, glory to God, for the return, the manifestation of the Christ is the more subtle and tricky and sleight of hand the enemy will operate. And so let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So here's the connection now of the thesis of this message of the coming or the return of the Lord, which will be witnessed also by a falling away. And that Paul said, "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, people now, society has become so materialistic, hedonistic, and pleasure-oriented that individuals are exalting themselves above all that is called God. Exalting themselves, seeking for people to worship and to adore them instead of worshiping the Creator. They begin to worship what is described in the book of Romans, the created thing. Excuse me. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is where the deception is going to come to try to draw individuals away into sin and perdition. This is why our faith must be anchored in Christ. This is why we must stay in tune, glory to God, in sweet communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who will give us the understanding once again and give us the revelation concerning the authenticity of the Christ, because many false Christs will come. Many will come in his name saying, it is me, I am the Lord. Jesus said, don't follow them. The attempt by the enemy, let me get this right, the attempt by the enemy will be so subtle that many will be deceived by the counterfeit because they have not been in right relationship on a daily basis through the word, through prayer, through yielding to the spirit, through dying daily to the flesh, that they're able to discern the authentic from the counterfeit. Paul said, be not shaken in mind. Why? Because the mind is the battleground for spiritual warfare. So, as wickedness increase in the earth, people who are not rooted and grounded in faith will be troubled and shaken in their minds. Paul confirms this in a second letter to the Thessalonians, that there will be a falling away. In other words, the enemy will use people in the church and in the world through whom he can loose a spirit of deception where people will call wrong right and right wrong. They operate in a spirit of pride and rebellion, but still want to present a form of godliness while denying the power of Almighty God. Only a remnant, beloved, will remain who refuse to be distracted by the things the enemy will throw at them. This remnant will hold fast to their profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite the virulent and vicious attacks of the enemy launched against them. They will be diligent and not slothful in seeking the Lord and carrying out his instructions. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that's promised. This is what encourages you, beloved, encourages me to hold on, because God's promises are yea, yea, and amen, amen. So please, let us endeavor to be a part of that remnant now, holding glory to God to our profession of faith, irrespective of who decides to turn back. Beloved, these teachings are divinely designed by Holy Spirit with you in mind. If you're struggling in this chaotic season of crisis, feeling lonely and depressed, need someone to minister to you, call our prayer line now. One of our dedicated intercessors waiting to take your call. This is what the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast is all about. Ministering to you, beloved, not only in word, but also in deed. Call now, 904-765-7600. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.